We survived blank game week 26, so now we're trying to plan for 29. Before then, we play hold or sell. We'll give you top targets for 27. And for some reason, this week, there are more arguments than ever. Hello, welcome back to the FPL pod. It's Thursday. Ian Irving is already shaking his head at me. Ian, is that in reflection to the game week that was?
No, I quite enjoyed the game week, to be honest. Oh. It was more the shambles that was starting this recording that was shaking my head at, to be honest. But we're here now.
Yes, we are also all here, just about. Myself, Kelly Summers, Sam Bonfield, Julian Ron, and as I said, Ian is back with us this week as well. We've had Sam, who's in Orlando. We've had her husband, Lee, trying to get ready to go to the gym in the background. We've had my partner bringing in my little girl, moaning that he doesn't have the things he needs to look after her for a whole hour. Yeah, it's all been very stressful. Let's now focus on FPL for once. Jules hasn't been the problem on this pod, have you, Jules?
I was even the second first after time. Sam. I waited for you and Ian to be ready eventually.
It's chaos. This podcast is chaos. There's a little insight into behind the scenes, but let's focus on FPL because that's the reason I think people do tune in. Sam, hope you're having a lovely holiday. Don't tell us too much about that, though. People can follow on Instagram if they want to. Tell us about your game week.
Yeah, it was all right. It was a difficult week, and I think we all knew that if you didn't free hit last week, it was going to be a bit of a challenging game week. And then to have a couple of players in my starting 11 who, for whatever reason, their actual managers decided to put them on the bench this week and then bring them on for a 0-point cameo in De Bruyne's case or a 1-point cameo in a Stupinian's case. It's a bit frustrating, I think, but some decent returns from some of them, which kind of kept my game week going. I really, really wish that I'd done what I said last week. I sat here last week, didn't I, and said I really wanted to captain Saka and I just wasn't quite brave enough to do it. But that was the play last week. I should have done that. But yeah, all in all, it was a fine game week. It was a very, very small red arrow, but basically a grey arrow, to be honest. 51 all in. It was all right. I feel like it was the game week to survive, to be honest. And it felt like I did that.
Yeah, I'm not really sure I did survive, to be honest. I only got 41, had a bit of a disaster. Jules, how was the free hit?
It wasn't bad. It could have been better, to be fair. I put KDB in there instead of Foden, really thinking that KDB would start and do well and et cetera, and he didn't. I had Haaland as captain. Some of the players that I bought in worked out really well. Jose Sa, Ait Nouri, Gross as well. But overall, 63 points is good considering I think I would have been like you, Kelly. I would have been around the 40 points if I hadn't free hit. I would have had to take a minus 8. I just didn't want to, and I wanted to keep the momentum going, like I said last week. And for that, I go an extra 1,000 places up in the rankings. So that worked really well for me. I know there will be another time where I think, oh, I wish I still had the free hit and maybe didn't play on game week 26. But for me, it kind of worked okay.
Ian, did you ever think that Jarrod Branthwaite would be your hero?
Yeah, of course I did. Do you not remember me talking about him when I brought him in game week 20? And I said, yeah, he's going to be useful in game week.
It's taken you how many weeks?
Yeah, 6 weeks.
He's been sleeping on your bench for so long.
He started twice for me. He got 6 in game week 21 and then he got 9 here. And actually, I was really happy with him because obviously he got the goal. But when Brighton scored in the 95th minute, I was still feeling a little bit disappointed because he was on for a 15-pointer.
I celebrated that goal.
I should have got his picture framed on my wall, I think, if he managed to get 15 points. And actually, with me trying to catch everyone up, obviously Sam's the closest to me in our mini league. That goal cost me 12 points because it was 6 points lost for Branthwaite because he lost his clean sheet, 2 bonus points. And Pascal Gross ended up with 7 when he was on for a 1-pointer because he got maximum bonus and an assist. So even in our little mini-league dynamic, that was a huge goal. But overall,
important.
Another green arrow. Yeah, it was important. And Jules, I mean, I had a look at your free hit. You were probably just that one decision, KDB and Foden, away from it being really successful. You got 15 more points than your original team would have got without making any transfers. So I'm sure you would have made a transfer in there if you'd gone with the original team. But yeah, Foden, KDB, 11-point swing.
I didn't see that one coming, I won't lie, yeah.
I know, yeah. Jules, I was really relieved.
I'm absolutely.
Also at this point in the season.
Right, thank you, friends. That's what friends are
wow.
for.
I'm not having the best few weeks. So if I'm not going to get pleasure out of my team, I'll get pleasure when I know that other people have done things that haven't gone well, namely you, Jules, when I knew that you'd have bought KDB in for Foden. It did give me some pleasure in the nicest possible way. Where are you in the world? Tell us. I'm surprised you haven't mentioned it. I saw you put it on Instagram.
No, but I'm glad that you're asking. 3,100 in the world. So still, where? I mean, I tried to find you and Ian somewhere. I mean, Sam.
You won't find me.
I know where she is, but I can't find you two.
I am now, I haven't even checked actually. Oh gosh, I was about 39,000
at
it. One point.
Yeah, don't say it.
I'm 88,000. Sam, where are you?
122.
Oh, I thought you'd gone ahead of me. That makes me feel a little bit... I'm clinging on. It's getting closer. It's going to be any week now, Sam is going to go ahead of me. This happens every year.
It's 10 points now. 10 points.
Is that all it is?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
God, it's been fun while it lasted. This is going to be
I'm coming
last
back.
Week, isn't it? This time next week. Ian, what about you?
I don't actually know what my overall rank is, to be honest. It's the highest it's been this
245K.
Year. There you go. The highest it's been this season, 245,000.
I'm watching you.
Is that the reason we're having
me?
To keep you on this pod, Ian? Just because you've like made a deal with the producer that you need to get your rank up and it's helping by being on the pod?
Yeah, it's the only way I get green arrows is appearing on the podcast this season. So please keep me. Thank you.
You'll do for now. We'll keep you for a while.
One more week.
One more week. We keep saying that, then, and you keep coming back. Can't get rid of you.
Just log on the call at the start, and no one's polite. Rude enough to tell me to get lost. Yeah. Anyway,
I had my baby 4 months ago, nearly. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. We love having you on this podcast. It's another person to come for Jules. Let's take a look at the mini league then. As Jules mentioned, another climb for him. Ait Nouri and Jose Sarr, the big heroes for him, up to, as we heard, just 3,168th in the world. You forgot those 68 places, Jules. You're not quite 3,100.
Imagine how you'd be if you'd kept folding and he's free, hey?
It's okay.
Just 20 points off the top 1,000.
Come on.
In a weird way, like I don't like you doing well, but in a weird way, it would be quite exciting if you did do really well.
Good for the pod,
I'm a little bit torn. Yeah, it's good for the pod.
I'm already doing really well. What do you mean even better? Like, that's what you mean?
I told you before, yeah. George, you've got to win it now. Like, we're at this point.
No pressure.
Really? Okay, yeah, no, pressure. No pressure.
Sam has written in the script for me, and you couldn't have put it better, everything that could go wrong did.
Sorry, Kel, I didn't have to.
It sums your season up. It sums your season up. It feels like your whole season has been like that.
It does feel like that, but I've not had the worst season. That's the irony of it all. Like, it's not been that bad. It's just when it's been bad, it's been really bad.
You're
like 88,000,
Kelly. You've had a brilliant season.
But I'm always on the cusp. As an FPL manager, I'm one of those managers that I'm pretty solid, I'm pretty safe, and then I just make stupid decisions. I'm like one or two decisions away from being actually quite a good FPL manager, but I stay pretty average because I do these mental things. I didn't text Sam this week. I didn't text anyone this week. I just sat in a pub. I don't know if that sounds great, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, wasn't drinking.
I don't believe you.
And I panicked. No, I wasn't, because I was driving. And I've got a child here, and I'm a responsible adult at 1 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon.
I definitely don't believe you now. Yep.
I thought, do you know what? I need to get rid of this Estupiñán headache. I'm fed up of the 1 points, as you mentioned there, Sam, coming on, getting the 1 point.
So annoying.
And I was like, I'm going to punt on the fact that maybe Chelsea will lose in midweek. And if Chelsea versus Arsenal does go in game week 29, I'm going to be able to get through game week 29 without my free hit, because I like playing free hit when there's loads of doubles. And I didn't want, I felt when we talked about Jules's free hit this week, yes, some of it was exciting, but it wasn't, I like playing my free hit when there's more upside, basically. So I punted and I thought, I'll bring in someone that's going to play in game week 29. Step up Alex Moreno and you're minus 1 points, and then it's stupid and got a point. So I wasted a transfer and it made 2 points difference. And now Chelsea lost. So I'm going to probably have to free it in game week 29. We'll talk about that in a bit. Thanks for my midweek therapy, guys. Sam, small red arrow, 2 points outside the top 100K, but you're now 6 points. Still not bad. You've written here, KDB was an irritation. That's a polite way of putting it, no?
Yeah, him and Estupiñán really annoying me at the moment.
Could have Moreno. Trust me.
Could have had Moreno.
You think Estupiñán's bad? I miss Estupiñán at this moment.
Yeah. I mean, unlike you, obviously the deadline was early in the morning for me. So I was up cleaning my teeth, making last minute decisions, thinking, right, which way am I going with this? And I very, very nearly benched Estupiñán for Charlie Taylor, because Charlie Taylor is an FPL legend, as we all know. And then last minute changed my mind. So then when I saw the Brighton team sheet, I was like, oh, you are joking me. If Charlie Taylor now goes and keeps a clean sheet, I am going to be furious riding around on these roller coasters today. As it was, it made no real difference. But Estupiñán, I'm going to have to sell him. He's winding me up so much. And De Bruyne, let's see, I'll probably give him this week, particularly after what happened in the FA Cup.
Oh, it was like watching your girlfriend snog another man in a club, that, wasn't it?
Imagine, Sam, I nearly sat and worked out how many points we'd have... Because I'm a KDB and Haaland owner and have been for a few weeks. The amount of points we'd have got in FPL.
Don't.
And you, they probably won't return now for a few weeks.
No. And at that point, when those goals were going in, I was driving. We went up to watch the basketball and I was driving and Lee just kept going, oh, Haaland scored. Oh, it's assisted by KDB. And I was like, stop it. Stop telling me this. Because had this happened last week or in the triple captain week that we all had, it would have been like, it just would have made such a difference, wouldn't it? So it was very, very frustrating to see all those points come in the FA Cup. But hopefully we get some good returns out of him. I get, well, Ian might not think so, but hopefully against Manchester United in the derby this weekend, we get some good points, as then I'll feel better before I sell him ahead of the games that he's got coming up.
Just confirming, Ian in the mini league up 30k places, 10% off the overall rank. And as Sam has written here, Branthwaite was a lovely differential. So the standings then, live maths coming your way, guys. Ian is 25 points behind Sam. Sam is now just 10 points behind me, and I am, gosh, miles behind Jules. I am 73 points behind Jules.
So how have we let him get this lead over us all?
In front. Talent and planning.
Wow.
We're not mentioning that P word again. As for the overall mini league that you guys play against us in, Amir is now top. Congratulations. This is amazing, actually. Amir was 22 points behind Itai last week, but he's now 4 points in front. He must be counting his lucky stars and also saying a big thank you to Saka, Foden, Louise, Bowen, Watkins, Aki and Haaland. He is now 22nd in the world overall. I feel like we've championed so many different people this season to want to go on and win it. But please, if someone in our pod league can win it, that would be absolutely
three
amazing.
Of them inside the top 100 could go in that.
It's not bad, is it? It's not bad indeed. I'd like to say that we've given them all the help. Oh, by the way, how have we got this far without mentioning Jules? Yeah. A new listener.
Welcome to Stormzy, to the official FPL podcast family. And we've learned at the weekend that Stormzy was listening to us on his Saturday morning, wherever he was. I don't know, at the gym, in the car, in his house.
Who cares where?
As long as he's listening. So Stormzy, welcome to the family, bro.
Yes, Stormzy, if you are listening to this, we're going to find out if he actually is listening to this.
He is listening.
Let us know if you are listening, and we would love to have you on 1 week. You'd be a real upgrade on Ian.
Oh,
wow. I'm joking. From one Man United fan to another. He's Man United fan.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Massive.
Okay. On to slightly more stressful things and slightly more disappointing.
I'm sure Stormzy's got like greater ambitions in his life than being better than me on an FPL podcast, to be fair, but okay.
I don't know, you know, it'd be a pretty good achievement. Never mind all the multi-platinum selling albums and stuff, yeah. Anyway, let's move back to FPL. What does the FA Cup mean for game week 29? I've already mentioned that I was trying to plan for it. Loads of us have been planning for it for what feels like weeks. As this midweek and the FA Cup results have shown, it's impossible. We didn't know exactly who was going to win. We were so close. Leeds pushed Chelsea all the way. I think if Arsenal versus Chelsea had happened in game week 29, then potentially we'd have all had a very different outlook. But there will only be four games in that game week. Burnley versus Brentford, Fulham versus Spurs, Luton versus Forest, West Ham versus Villa. So that's no City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Newcastle. Well, you get my point. Lots of the big teams aren't playing. Sam, this to me screams free hit.
Yeah, and it's really annoying because I really, really don't want to use my free hit in 29. There's so few teams.
Is there anything else we can do to not use it?
Yeah,
you can. You can dead end your team, which is still, I think, the strategy I'm on. I still love using my free hit in a double game week or in a week where there's real potential upside because you've got so many players that you can choose from and more potential for them to return. So when it comes to a blank game week, particularly such a small blank game week, you can use your free transfers over the next few weeks to target in on those eight teams, which is what Jules is going to have to do because he's used his free hit. Yeah. So you just target in on those teams. You sell the players that you don't have playing in that week. You bring in players from the likes. And there are teams in there that you can target. You have got teams like Aston Villa and Spurs in there. So it's not like a completely terrible week where there's nobody that you could go to. You can go three Spurs, you can go three Villa, you can get a couple of Brentford players in there, you know, whether it be the goalkeeper from them or whether you go for Reguilon and Tony. There's plenty of options across those three sides in particular. And then if you've still got your wild card left, you just fix it very easily by wildcarding out of it in game week 30 and you don't have to worry then about holding all of those players that you maybe don't want in the long term. That's called dead-ending your team, moving your team to a point where you have them for 1 week and then immediately change it all back out again so you bring back your superstars who you've already sold. I'm still hoping And I think my team is just about able to work that way. The Wolves game, I was so hoping that Brighton would beat Wolves, because had that Wolves game been on in game week 29, that would have made such a difference. And like you say, if had Chelsea gone out of the FA Cup, having Chelsea and Arsenal would have made it such an easier game week to navigate. But as it is, I think if a free hit is obviously workable, but it is limited in terms of what you do, particularly as I think the teams that you would target and the players you would target if you dead-end your team and just use your transfers will be very similar to what your team would look like on a free hit.
Maybe I don't have to use my free hit. This is why I love this podcast. Jules, is that what your plan is, to kind of dead-end your team? Because as we've said, you don't have your free hit anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I was really hoping that, no offense to Chelsea and Chelsea fans, that Chelsea would lose to Leeds.
Also basically said that, Jules, as
well. Yeah, exactly. No, but it's true, because that Chelsea-Arsenal game, especially maybe more than anything else in that FA Cup fifth round games, that was the one really where I think it would have served a lot of us. And that came really close. In the end, didn't happen. Chelsea went through. Well done to them. But that adds just to the headache of that game week 29 now. So yeah, I think that ending is the right way. You can play your free hit if you still have it. You can try, I don't know, something else like a wild card and planning for after, but that's a bit more tricky, I think. So dead ending, if you don't want to play your free hit, is probably the best option.
Ian, you said before you do not want to use your free hit. So no. I'm guessing it's just more fun, isn't it? It's just so much more fun when you can use the free hit for the doubles. And I think we're going to have some good doubles ahead of us.
Yeah. So at the moment, I'm really torn on this. I'm caught probably between Sam and Jules in terms of their approaches. As I sit here now, I've only got four players who are likely to play in game week 29. That's Areola, Doughty, Charlie Taylor and Watkins. So I'm not set up well for this at all. That said, obviously, I've got three transfers that I can use between now and 29 to get myself set. I can probably take a hit at some point for a -4, which means I'll then have eight players for game week 29, which could be enough. If you end up nailing the players that do well in that game week, you know, you target the main players that everyone's going to have on free hit, you know, and you'll have them in your team as well. You know, you're probably going to be all right. The thing is, that's basically saying straight away that you're going to be down, 6 points if you play your free hit. If you factor in the hit as well, that means you're going to be down 10 points automatically on what your free hit side will be, at least if all the players that you've got are the ones you're going to have. I don't think I'd have Charlie Taylor on a free hit either.
Why not? He's a legend.
Yeah, I'm just not sure he's keeping a clean sheet against Brentford when I'll have Ivan Toney in my attack. So I don't want a free hit, but then when I look at the actual reality of the situation, I'm being sucked into free hitting. The only thing that I think is that I'm just not sure how high the ceiling's going to be for this week. So, you know, I was taking Mick out of Jules a moment ago for gaining 15 points with his free hit, which would have actually been 26 points if he'd done Foden rather than KDB. I'm not even sure I'm getting 15 points extra with playing the free hit, because the people who are going to be...
those fixtures as well, yeah.
Yeah, the people that are going to be around...
It's also the teams in it. Like I mentioned before, none of like the teams with your Cities, your Liverpools, your Arsenals, when I listed them before, I probably missed some of them. Yeah, none of the bigger known FPL assets are going to be playing. So we're going to be picking from probably strikers that haven't scored many goals this season. And
we'll have Watkins, we'll have Toney, we're going to have Spurs midfielders, you know, definitely. So they would be the primary targets for this week. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have those in our teams, whether we play with our free hit or not. It's going to be the sort of, you know, probably 9th, 10th, 11th players in your starting lineups who may be the ones who deliver. Now, the other factor I didn't consider before is that we've also got a double game week in 28. So if you want to bring in any additional Bournemouth players or Luton players for that matter, that's going to be transfers used up for 28 that then aren't going to help you if the Bournemouth player's in 29. So again, it's another reason to be sucked into this free hit that I don't really want to play.
I think the other thing is you have to look forward as well to what game week 34 might look like, because obviously game week 34 is also going to be affected by the FA Cup. And that for me is a really appealing week for a free hit, because you're going to have teams that potentially blank. You're going to have teams that are on single game weeks, and you're going to have teams that are on double game weeks, because that's just going to be the way that it is. Some of the teams that are still in the FA Cup could have their fixture moved into the midweek, so they won't necessarily blank, but they will only have one single game week fixture. Whereas other teams will probably have two. And so you can really use the free hit at that point to your advantage. And, you know, we were talking about how many points Jules gained last week. There's so much more upside in that week because you've got so many more players that you can choose from so many different teams, ones that are doubling. You can forget the ones that are blanking, but yet still have them back in for the weeks after if you want to keep them. You can have different players that might just give you an advantage over your mini league rivals. So I think for me, the free hit comes down to a, can I survive 29 without using that chip? If I think that it's workable to just get through the week, which is how I felt about going week 26, if I can get through it with a slight red arrow or just holding rank, that's a win because that's holding my chip.
Yep.
And it's not using it in a kind of defensive way. Whereas, and I feel that it's the same for game week 29. If I use it in game week 29, it's very defensive. I'm picking from a very, very small group of players and everyone's free hit team is going to look very, very template, including the managers, actually, who don't free hit. You're going to have a very template team. If you can use it in 34, when there's going to be a minefield of things to navigate with blanks and doubles and single game week teams, or in 37, where we're expecting there to be another double game week, or even in 35 or 36, where there might be just a double game week for a couple of teams as we get fixtures getting rescheduled, the upside there feels so much greater and the ability to attack the week by picking different players that give you an advantage over your rivals just feels like a really nice opportunity if you can survive 29.
Sam, we don't know yet when the double game weeks, for example, when the Arsenal-Chelsea game is going to be placed or put or played.
Yeah, we don't, because we don't know yet where how far these clubs will go in European football. So obviously the teams like Liverpool, like Arsenal, like Manchester City, there's much more limited game weeks where those fixtures can be rescheduled if they continue to stay in their European competitions. 34 and 37 are midweeks that are completely clear. So I'd expect those teams to double in those weeks and have the fixtures rescheduled there. Teams like the Chelsea and Spurs match, for example, could easily go into game week 35, 36, because those teams don't have midweek commitments. So that can kind of go anywhere. So we can start guessing where they might go. But 34 and 37 are probably going to be the most important ones, particularly as Kel said earlier, for those teams that we all want to target in FPL, the ones with the big FPL players in that you'd want to have in your teams.
Okay, so plenty to think about. It's also going to have a lot of variation again, actually, which is, Ian, it's something that I noticed you mentioned a lot on the pod. It's exciting when we're all having slightly different considerations. You'll have people like Jules that have used their free hit. You'll have people that are going to use their free hit. And you'll have probably, it sounds like me, you and Sam, the ones that are just going to try and survive that game week and then kind of really kick on from there.
Yeah, like I say, I'm being sucked into free hit and just looking at the options, but I don't think it's, you know, that appealing. But then you sort of logically look at it and start to think, well, there's 10 points that I'll lose straight away. One of those comes off, maybe that's 15 points, you know, and then what you're missing out on by only targeting players who play in 29 in these next two or three game weeks as well. So, yeah, this is the great thing about these sort of stages of FPL seasons. There is different ways to play it. We won't know yet until it all plays out exactly which is the right way to go. So the opportunity to ride it out, the opportunity to ignore it. I'm sure in the past there's been weeks like this, blank game weeks, where I've played a free hit and you've been up against a mini league rival looking at their team thinking, they haven't got a free hit left. I have. I'm going to soar past them this week. And then they nail like the three or four players who top score. They get the captaincy pick right and you end up maybe a couple of points closer to them and just like, how on earth this happened? So it's very hard to know at this stage what to do. It's very team specific. Like I say, I've got four players at the moment who are going to play in game week 29. If you're already on maybe six, you know, I don't think you need to play your free hit. You can navigate the next few weeks bringing in Spurs players. If you don't have them, bringing in Ivan Toney, whoever it might be you're missing, get the key assets and you should be okay. But yeah, variance is what we want. It gives us the ability to catch up. Mm. It gives us the ability to make ground on people and it gives us good talking points as well. So it's perfect.
Yeah, I've got four. So I'm literally in the same boat as you. Different players. I've got Watkins, Toney, my hero Moreno and Charlie Taylor as well. So it's just, I've already got there in my head two of the players that I would, a lot of people will free hit in, Watkins and Toney. So yeah, I don't know. I'm not definitely not going to free hit. I mean, I've done a U-turn from the intro to this pod. I was going to free hit to the end of this section. I'm not free hitting.
But I think you need to decide now.
Yeah, because you need to use your transfers to plan.
100%.
Now's the time to decide.
But the one thing I would say is my transfer this week, regardless, is going to be Jota to Bowen. I'd already decided that. So he plays in 29 and I want him anyway. So actually, I'm buying myself another week to make that decision. Is Sam's going to now tell me why I shouldn't do that? Does that make sense to you, Sam?
No, totally. Yeah. I mean, my transfer this week will be a Spurs midfielder for that exact same reason. I just think that, so if you're going into this next week and you're not sure yet whether your strategy is going to be to free hit or not, just use your transfers wisely and pick players like Tony, like Bowen, like Maddison, Richarlison, Son, whoever it is that you want from Spurs. Just pick players that give you the ability to go either way, that either allow you to go, let's free hit, or go, oh, I don't want a free hit, I want to dead end my team. Because in doing that, you leave yourself an opportunity to move both ways with your team. And I think because Spurs and Bowen, if you want to go for Bowen, have decent fixtures this weekend, you have the ability to do that at this point.
The one thing I have also thought, though, in between that, I'm showing off, saying I've got Tony and Watkins. Solanke, obviously we don't know about his fitness at the moment. Solanke is going to be someone that we maybe want between now and then as well, though, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I've got Solanke and I'm now obviously going to be holding him the hope that he's fine for the double game week. But then immediately afterwards, I'd sell him and get Tony in instead. I think if you don't have Solanke, like you don't have in your team, Kel, you're going to have to consider that if he's fit and available to play in that double in game week 28, because obviously not having him for that double could be quite a painful experience.
You're going to have to sell Erling Haaland though, Kelly, to do that. Ooh, if you want to keep Watkins and Tony.
I might have done a U-turn back to the free hit.
This is all over the place this morning, Kel.
I'm tired. I got in very, very late from Nottingham Forest and I was watching all of those games. I was at the Forest game, but I was watching what was going on from afar in the other games, getting stressed about my FPL team. I've put it off until this morning and now it's all coming out as a brain splurge. Sorry. Okay, so hopefully that's given you some food for thought and maybe you're yo-yoing between options as often as I am, but whatever happens, it's going to be a roller coaster over these next few weeks or whatever you do. Good luck. Let's go through some of the highly owned players then in FPL. We've all got decisions to make as we're planning our chips and as we're deciding whether we use this second wildcard, what to do with players who are highly owned, who have done well for us so far, who perhaps aren't doing quite as well at the moment. Only one name to start with, and that's Estupiñán. He is 26% owned. It's felt like a bit of a roller coaster owning him. I got off that roller coaster last week and joined another one. But Sam, are you getting off?
God, I wish I'd got off weeks ago, to be honest. It's just,
I wish I'd never got on.
I'm amazed this team's so highly owned, to be fair, considering his injury and then all the struggles.
I think, Jules, to be honest, most people have just gone, I've got other things I've got to deal with, which is how my team's been. It's kind of been like, well, maybe he might get the start this time around, because it's not like he's injured at the moment. It's kind of just, is De Zerbi going to start him? And then De Zerbi's comments this week, I was like, okay, this is a problem I just don't want anymore. So Ian was talking earlier about taking a minus four at some point, taking the hit. I think I'm probably going to do it this week and deal with him at this point, because I'd far rather bring in a player that I know is going to play in game week 29. And that means I don't have to ride the Estupiñán roller coaster anymore, because quite frankly, I'm bored of every week looking at the Brighton team sheet and being like, is Estupiñán going to start or not? And then being annoyed when he doesn't, because he inevitably is going to come on for a 1 point cameo. So it's not like even I can look to my bench player and go, okay, well, this guy might come on for a 6 pointer. It's just an infuriation at the moment. And it's really annoying, because if you guaranteed Estupiñán would start, you'd want him because he's got that attacking threat. But while we can't guarantee that, I just don't think you can have him anymore.
He's got 3 points in 5 game weeks in Brighton.
Thanks, Ian.
I mean, it's great to own him. I wish I could own him.
I'd get rid of him.
Thanks, Jules. Just the comment myself and Sam needed. What am I talking about? I don't own him anymore. It's fine. Jules, I also can't come to you on this, because you only had to join the Kevin De Bruyne roller coaster for 1 week and now you're back on the Phil Foden train. I'm quite jealous about that, to be honest. I'm guessing you're quite happy that Foden is the one you've got longer term.
Yes,
or are
I'd
you not
say yes.
Because of the cup, actually?
No, I'm not, because I and we've said it before, I don't think you get the best out of Foden when you play him wide, and you can only play him wide if you have KDB starting in your team, because he will be the player that starts centrally. And I think, I don't know if KDB was really not fit this weekend, and that's why he only played at the 5 minutes at the end. Enough to pick up a yellow card, or if he was just not in the team because Foden was so good in that game that Pep said, you know what, I don't need to play KDB in there because Foden is controlling the whole game and we're winning even if Haaland misses chances. And then I play KDB in the cup like I did and not Foden. So I don't know if there's a question in Pep's head about, is it KDB or Foden, or I can easily play them both, but Foden would have to go wide. My only little worry, a little fear is that if KDB starts, Foden will move slightly right or left.
Yeah.
And that's not the same for him and for us in FPL. That's all. But yeah, of course, I'm still happy to have him because he's in incredible form. But he's in incredible form when he plays centrally, which might not be the case against United at the weekend.
Pep Guardiola has spoken about this, Kelly, in his press conference recently when Foden was in brilliant form and De Bruyne was first coming back to fitness. And he said it was only in sort of very specific matches where he felt comfortable to play both of these two centrally. And it's when he felt that City were really going to dominate the ball and they needed the creativity of those two in the middle. Since then, there's been issues, of course, with Jack Grealish's fitness. So that's removed a bit of an option. Doku's been in and out as well. He started Oscar Bob once in the Premier League too. So I think Jules is right. I think it's more than likely that Foden will play wide at the weekend and De Bruyne will play through the middle. I mean, but the thing is, KDB's made 12 appearances this season and got 12 assists. He's already City's top assister in the entire season, despite the fact he's only played those 12. And actually, I think before he even got his fourth assist in the FA Cup in the week, he was already in the top five assisters from Europe's top five leagues this season. But of those 12 assists, only four have come in the Premier League. We've just not been rewarded the way that we thought, especially how good he was in that cameo off the bench in the first game back against Newcastle. That said, he usually saves his best form for the biggest of occasions. In the next few matches, he's got the Manchester Derby, he's got Liverpool, and he's got Arsenal. I wouldn't be surprised at all if we saw the best version of KDB on those occasions.
The Pep roulette will strike a few times more this season, I'm sure.
He ain't leaving him out of those big games. No way.
No, exactly. But there's a lot of big games coming up, isn't there? So yeah, we'll just have to see. Okay, on to some of the other players. Let's rattle through some of these. I can't believe Kieran Trippier, Sam, is still 41.8% owned.
I know, it's mad, isn't it? Like, when I was looking at these and I was thinking, oh, who's heavily owned? Trippier, his ownership surprises me every time I look at it because Newcastle's clean sheet ability just dropped off a cliff. Like, at the beginning of the season, they were doing really, really well. And then I don't even know how many weeks it's been now since we've seen a clean sheet. I was just going to got the Newcastle things up to have a look.
No clean sheets since game week 14.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. Which is insane when you think about it. And when you're paying that level of money, the premium defenders, yes, you have them because of the upside. You have them because they've got set piece potential, or because they've got goal threat or assists or whatever it is, of course. But the bread and butter of an FPL defender is clean sheets. And we're not getting that from Newcastle. And at the budget that he is, I think you could easily sell him. He also doesn't have a fixture in 29, so that makes it easier. You just sell him, you downgrade him to, I mean, you can go as far down as Reguilón if you want to. Have a player that's guaranteed to be playing in 29, has some attacking threat. And then that budget can be used elsewhere to upgrade one of your attacking assets or upgrade one of your midfielders. So for me, Trippier would just be an easy sell.
Their expected goals conceded in 2024 is 20.5 goals. That's the worst in the Premier League. In fact, the closest Mental. To them is West Ham, and they're on 14.4. So they're the worst defence at the moment,
wow,
statistically, by quite a large margin. Arsenal are 1.9. That's how good they've been defensively in 2024. So they are the defence to invest in if you're not already there, which most of us are, in fairness. But yeah, I just wouldn't own a Newcastle defender at the moment. And when I saw those stats, it made me feel quite depressed that my two goalkeepers are Areola and Dubravka, who are from the two worst rated defenders.
But we've said it about Newcastle and Trippier, haven't we?
Who's my goalkeeper?
For weeks, I feel like we've been saying it, Jules.
Yeah, for weeks we said he saved himself a couple of times with attacking return, yeah, which he's always going to do because they're good on set pieces and he takes them. But really, defensively, it was never a good idea to have him or any other Newcastle defenders.
Mm-hmm. What about Mo Salah, Sam? 22.9% owned, which also surprised me because he's so much money. And he didn't even play in the League Cup final on Sunday, so he's not fit.
Yeah, and we don't know if he's going to be available to play at the weekend, and then it's a difficult fixture the week after against Man City, and then there's a blank in there as well. And if they continue to make progress in all competitions, we don't really know when those fixtures are going to be rescheduled. Look, Salah is a player that, if fit, I want, but I can't see me having him in my team until game week 30. And I think if you have him at this point, you have to really consider what your strategy looks like for 29, because if it's not free hit, then I think you kind of have to look at selling Salah to invest in, I mean, people will say it's my Spurs buy, but genuinely it's not this time around. It's just that Spurs have got the decent midfielder options for game week 29. So I think if I had him, I'd probably be selling him. But that's not because I'd want to sell Salah. That's because we've got doubts over his availability, and also because he doesn't have a fixture in game week 29 and difficult fixture against Manchester City in game week 28. So I think if you've got him, I'd sell. But then from game week 30 onwards, I'd be looking to have him straight back in my team.
Right, we're going to have to rattle through these last two. Darwin Núñez, Jules, feel like he's your boy. 15.9% owned. You've still got him, right, in your normal team?
Yeah, I still have him. I mean, seeing how he celebrated the, if you didn't see, he ran from where he was sat behind the benches onto the pitch to celebrate. Didn't look injured to us. He was clearly, he's back at training, full training, clearly rested against Southampton to play the kids. So I fully expect him to play this weekend and then to play until obviously he blanks in game week 29. So if you have him like me, you can keep him for a little bit and play him. But at some point, you will have to sell him or put him on your bench because he's not going to obviously feature in game week 29. But he was in great form before the injury. Salah coming back probably at the same time is a big boost for Liverpool too. So I would play him this weekend for sure if you have him. But at some point, if again you're not going to free hit for game week 29, you will have either to bench him or decide to sell him and reinvest that money on players who will play, as we've been saying, in game week 29 if you deaden your team.
Yeah, the Darwin now we've talked about roller coasters. It feels like the Darwin Núñez roller coaster has been the most turbulent of the lot, to be honest.
It hasn't been so much of a roller lately. It's been a really coaster. Since I've owned him, I've changed him. He's been very consistent.
Oh, it's your management, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe when Klopp leaves at the end of the season, you should go and take charge up there if you're that good.
They've asked me, I'm really busy next season, but I'll see
too
what
many
I can
podcasts.
Do.
You can't fit in all these
too many shows.
Podcasts, yeah. What about Pedro Porro, Ian?
A very reluctant hold, I would say, just because he's useful for game week 29. We don't fully know, I don't think, about his fitness status yet either. So maybe have a listen to Ange Postecoglou's press conference for that. He's broke the two-point barrier just twice in the last seven game weeks. He really should have returned more points for us over the course of this season. And his influence seems to have waned a little bit since Spurs have had their more creative players in attack. And actually, Adoghi's been the one for me that sort of stood out of the two. So if I was to buy either of them, I probably wouldn't buy Pedro Porro. But if I owned him, I think he'd be a reluctant hold, yes.
Okay, so there's some of the highly owned assets. I can hear people shouting at their smartphones and devices now saying, what about so-and-so? What about so-and-so? We've gone through some of them, guys. Okay, well, off the back of that, it does mean that potentially you'll be looking for replacements for some of those. So we're going to suggest a defender, a midfielder and a forward that we should maybe be targeting for game week 27. Jules, give us a defender.
Saliba!
Since we've heard that.
I know. Because he's so good now that it's not a surprise if everybody owns him, if he's doing well. Contractually, I'm obliged to obviously have him in my team.
Paris born and bred.
Sure. Thank you, Ian. Sure. He's my brother.
Stop, don't you start saying that.
I mean, Saliba every single day of the week, of course. You can have Gabriel if you prefer because he's more of a threat on set pieces. I understand that and he's cheaper. But Saliba is my guy.
Predictable. Midfielder,
all right.
Ian.
I think Jared Bowen, to be honest. I know we've mentioned him already on the podcast, but he's 7.7 million. He looked so good through the middle in that West Ham game on Monday night against Brentford. They were his first returns, actually, since game week 19, but West Ham have had issues with their form, but also the availability of the attackers with Kudus being away at AFCON. And of course, the injury to Paquetá. Now Paquetá's back. Jared Bowen should be through the middle more often. They've got good fixtures. Everton away, Burnley at home, Villa at home, Newcastle away, Tottenham at home. They all feel like there's attacking potential in those fixtures, even if West Ham might not necessarily win those games. So I think he's probably my number one midfield target at the moment.
Yeah, I like that one, as I said before. What about forward, Sam?
If you're one of the 47% of managers that still don't own Ollie Watkins, by Ollie Watkins this week. It baffles me. He's doing so well at the moment. He's got Luton and obviously has the fixture in 29 as well. So yeah, Ollie Watkins.
Yeah, I agree. On to differential of the week then. Ian, what a success story for you last week. Do you want to remind
everyone?
He was
loving it.
Absolutely loving it. 12 points for Leon Bailey. Yes, my friend.
Who you got this week then? Can you live up to that?
It's going to be difficult because that's really good.
it is, yeah.
So I'm looking at Bournemouth. And I'm not totally certain who I'm going to go. So I've got three names in front of me written down and it's a little bit of potluck as to who I go for. I think I'm going to go for Antoine Semenyo. 4.5 million forward, 1.9% owned. He's got Burnley at home Sorry, he's got Burnley away this week. Burnley at home, he got 9 points with a goal and 3 bonus points. And he also scored in his last Premier League away game at Newcastle as well to get 8 points. So Semenyo is my differential this week.
Just a reminder, because a few of us, mainly Jules, have been showing off that they're trying to pick differentials, not just for 1 week. Jules does that, of course, so that he can take credit when his differential scores 3 weeks later. Just a reminder that Bournemouth won't play in game week 29 if you're going to bring him in, but does have a very good fixture this week.
Did Buonanotte and Neto return this week, Jules? I mean, considering they were not just for Christmas.
I can't return every week. I was just saying, sometimes it's just the week after.
Guys, like, I was just trying to make that as a reminder to people that Bournemouth don't play in 29. No need to create
got a double in 28, though. So
Yes, exactly that. Sam, who have you got?
Are you not going to mention that Pascal Gross did really well last week and got me 7 points?
It's the second time you've
picked
him.
No, because I knew you'd mention it. You'd mention it.
Honestly,
it's outrageous. An assist and 3 bonus points for my differential. So I was well happy until I looked at Liam's way. I know, but that doesn't matter when it comes, Ian, as long as it comes. Came for my FPL team as well.
Are you hammering people for scoring late goals?
No, I was just saying that Pascal Gross returned in the 95th minute. Why?
Sound like you're quite upset about Pascal Gross.
I was a bit closer to you in the mini league. 12 points it cost me that assist.
Ian, also, as a United fan, you should know that late goals are pretty crucial.
Oh, aye. Yeah, I'm not moaning at that. Into the quarters. Come on.
Right, so I'm going to follow Pascal Gross with Kai Havertz this week. No, I can't be. I'm afraid it's going to be mine.
No, it's mine. It's written on my list.
We've had this before. That's amazing. Do you know what?
No, let's have the same one. It's okay. We can have the same one.
The best thing about this, Jules, is that last night as I was writing Kai Havertz, I said, I'm going to put a second one because Jules will pick Kai Havertz as well.
You see, but I mean, great mind, things alike.
Just pick him, please.
I saw it. I'll let Jules. Have you got a backup, Jules?
Absolutely not.
Okay. So James Maddison is then 7.9 million. He's owned by 9.7% of the game. So just, this is the last time I'm going to be able to pick James Maddison.
I don't know. I was getting in trouble for stuff like this earlier on in the season.
Ian, the one I had was 1.8% owned. And now Jules is ruining my life.
You've been trying Alexander Arnold as a differential. I mean,
he was under 10%. That's why I was getting in trouble. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So back to James Maddison.
He's a great 7, I might add as well.
He's a great differential for those managers who don't want to use a free hit ship in game week 29, because obviously Spurs do have a fixture there. He's playing against Crystal Palace this weekend, got 6 points against him in the reverse of this fixture back in game week 10. And he's got 78 points so far this season, which doesn't sound a lot. But when you consider the fact that he hasn't played for 10 game weeks this season, 78 points is a ridiculous tally for him to be on. And before the injury, he was a player that we all wanted to have. And I think moving forward, the Spurs fixtures look good. And Spurs are a team that will massively help you with your strategy moving forward if you invest in them. So I wanted Kai Havertz. Instead, I'll pick from the better half of North London, Jules, and go for James Maddison.
Go on then, Jules. Very quickly.
Yeah, I thought Kai Havertz was great. 1.8%, as Sam just said, 7.1 million. So it's a bit expensive, but he's in great form. 40 points he returned against Newcastle, 12 against Burnley. They're away at Sheffield United, Arsenal on Monday night. And I suspect he would play as a 9-2, like he did against Newcastle. So I think Kai Havertz could have a really good Monday night impact.
Okay, then on to captaincy. I'm looking at Bukayo Saka. What about you, Sam?
I'm looking at Bukayo Saka too, Kelly. I really wanted to go for Saka last week and didn't because the fear got me. And this week, I just think it's the Monday night game. I love captaining someone in the Monday night game. I prefer his fixture to that of Haaland's. And I know that what we saw from Haaland in the FA Cup has kind of put a little bit of a spin on it and made me kind of look back at him and go, well, maybe I should go there. But I just think with the form that Arsenal are in, the way that Saka is playing, it's an opportunity to go outside of where everyone else will go and potentially get some really nice captaincy returns. So yeah, I think I'm going to go for Saka too.
Ian, are we foolish not captaining Haaland against United?
I don't know. I mean, if it's anything like the game at the Etihad last year, yes, when Haaland, of course, got a hat-trick. And he got 2 against United at Old Trafford earlier on in the season as well. So I'm tripled up on the Manchester City attack actually heading into the Manchester derby. So, you know, if you then go Haaland as well, you know, you're very, very heavily invested in a team doing well in a game. So you've got to be really sure that they're going to do really well against United. I think Saka away at Sheffield United is a great option. Dominic Solanke, if he's fit, is a great option away at Burnley. Ollie Watkins away at Luton as well. So, you know, quite a lot of our assets have got good fixtures. So again, we might see lots of different ways to play our captain this week. So I'm undecided at the moment, to be honest. I think there's some really nice options there.
Go on, Jules. You're undecided as well, aren't you?
Yeah, but I'm really keen on Haaland. I won't lie. I think the 5 goals he scored against Luton makes a massive difference. It really does, I think. And I don't trust this United defence or makeshift defence, especially at the Etihad. I think they will play very defensive United. That's all they can do. But I can still see, you can still easily see City winning 3 or 4 nil. And if they do, then Haaland can have all those goals, half of them, and that would still be enough. So it's I think this is one of those weeks where it's really tricky to pick the right captain.
Yeah, I agree. Transfer-wise then, Sam, Spurs midfielder for you?
Yeah, I think so. I might take a -4 this week and do a Stupinian to a Spurs defender. And again, it's going to depend on what Postecoglou's got to say about Porro, because obviously I sold him, might go for Udogi instead just to play a bit safer. Although that does put me on the same Spurs defender as Jules, and I would rather have a different one, just gives me the ability to catch him a little bit further. So yeah, might be a -4 coming. But the problem I've got this week is I don't know which midfielder I would sell for a Spurs midfielder this week, because Neto, we've just talked about that Newcastle clean sheet. I wouldn't want to sell him. Saka's obviously going absolutely nowhere. Gross has got Fulham. I don't think I want to sell him. KDB, I'm happy to sell next week, but I don't think I'm happy to sell ahead of the Manchester derby. And I've obviously got Palmer as well. So finding the spot for a Spurs midfielder this week is more difficult. So it's possible that the Spurs midfielder, I might wait, even though I really want them this week, I might end up having to wait and do it next week and do De Bruyne to Madison or Richarlison or Son at that point.
Jules?
Jota will go for Bowen, Son or Madison, one of the three.
Copying me there. I said my transfer is just as Bowen.
I know. You're my inspiration. You've always been my inspiration.
I'm copying both of you because my thought process is exactly the same as Jules. I may take a hit for a defensive transfer as well, but I'm just not sure on that. So I think the most likely thing for me to do is to start my mate, Jared Branthwaite, again at home to West Ham and then bring in Jared Bowen, which is a really sensible thing to pit an attack against the defence. So anyway, needs more thought, I think.
Yeah, good luck with that. Yeah, good luck sorting your teams out. A reminder, the deadline this week is 1:30 p.m. on Saturday, 90 minutes ahead of the 6 fixtures that take place at 3 p.m. The FPL Pod Mini League, as always, I'm reminding you the code is IB3WLK. Ian will be back for this week's fantasy show on Friday morning. I'm laughing because I was going to ask you who's on the show and you'll say, oh, you know.
I knew. Oh, I looked it up because last week when you asked me, I didn't have a clue and I felt really rude. So yeah, it's Praz.
No disrespect to any of your
FPL. Yeah,
sorry, FPL. Az. Sorry, Az doesn't mind, does he? He's used to it. Off the Bench will also be back on Tuesday. Sam and Harry will take you through the key talking points from game week 27. And on that note, thanks for sticking with me, guys. I've been a bit delirious with tiredness. And if you've made it to the end of this podcast listening as well, congratulations and we thank you. See you next week for hopefully a calmer podcast.
Good luck, Jesse. Editing that, mate. He needs it, doesn't he?